Okay, that seemed to work, Paul.
Okay, sorry for interrupting. Take care.
All righty. All right, so let's advance to the next slide. This is the slide of the bush in a question mark. So you've been a worker bee. Really, that's raising the question, at what point in time should a person begin to think about transitioning in and moving up the ladder? And as you all know, one of the big questions is, do I try to do it from within my existing company or what? And when do I start doing that? Well, interestingly enough, the average worker today keeps their job about less than 4 years. It's about 3.47 years before they're ready to transition. And that has a lot to do with the pace of technology, the pace of the business world today. Now, that doesn't mean, I don't mean to imply that everybody ought to start thinking about a job change after 3 or 4 years. That's not it. I'm just saying that you need to probably be in a position somewhere around that 3-year range in order to demonstrate to your current employer and future employers that you have the skills to be considered for a management type role. Forwarding slide. This chart, the difficulty of making a career change. Now, this is one of the most useful charts that I have, and it's not very difficult to understand, but I want to walk you through it. You look down at the bottom, same industry, different function, employer. So if we start at the very bottom of this triangle, you will see that the most easiest job change is for you to stay in the same industry for the same employer and just do something different. So maybe you're in a task and you get really good at that task and your boss comes along and says, how would you like to move into management? Well, you're doing the same kinds of things, but now you're overseeing other people. Well, in fact, transitioning up within your existing company is by far the easiest thing to do because your employers know you. They know the quality and capabilities. They know what you've been doing. And that's really a common thing to do. As we move up the scale, the next most difficult thing is to stay in the same industry, doing the same thing, just doing it for a different employer. And you say, well, if I'm doing the same thing, why would I want to do it somewhere else? Well, understand that new employer might be larger, might be in another location, might pay you more. There are all kinds of reasons why somebody might want to take the same job for a different employer, whether that's a competitor or whether that's a different branch of your organization. Something to consider. The next thing up the scale is to do the same function for a different employer in a totally different industry. Now, you can imagine, maybe an example would be, let's say, customer service. So you're in a customer service role. Well, functionally, you could do customer service, but maybe you're in, uniforms. You work for Cintas or something, and you want to get out of uniforms, and you want to get into doing customer service for Wolseley of North America. Well, because of the functional strength and expertise you've developed where you are, it's not a difficult thing for you to do to transition into a new employer. But at the same time, we're 3 levels up here. The next most difficult thing is for you to stay in the same industry and transition into a totally different function. So you've been in customer service, and now you want to move into sales, or you want to move into management, or you want to move into accounting or something, doing a totally different function for a different employer. However, because you're in the same industry, know the industry jargon, you know the complexities of the industry you're in, and so because of the familiarity with the industry, an employer would be willing to consider you. Clearly, the most difficult transition is to go into a new industry for a new employer and doing something totally different. And yet it's amazing how many job seekers, that's in fact what they end up doing. Notice, though, that as you move up this chart of difficulty, surprisingly enough, it costs you money and it takes time. And you say, well, why would I go through all of this if in fact I'm going to lose money? Well, people do that for lots of reasons. And lose money, what that's all about is that it's sort of like starting over. When you go all the way to the top of this chart, you're starting all over. And you have to redevelop those functional strengths and skills. So transitioning is a challenge. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean, I don't mean to say that everybody that makes this change ends up starting over again or, in fact, loses money. But you shouldn't be at all surprised if that's what you need to do to transition. Let's go to the next slide. Well, if you want to go to your current employer and get that employer to move you into a new position, you're going to have to make a case for why they ought to consider letting you do that. And typically, that involves reviewing what you've been doing. We all know that we get hired on to do one job, and somehow, miraculously, we end up doing a dozen other things that were never a part of our job description. That's pretty standard. In some situations, you can go back to your boss and say, you know what? Here was my job description, and yet here's all the things I'm doing. We really need to relook at where I am. Maybe I need to be, you know, managing certain pieces. And remember, management involves three things. It involves managing people, managing resources, and managing data. So management doesn't always necessarily mean managing people. You could be in a management role and not have anybody under you at all. So think about that consideration, that if you want to make a move up this career ladder, are there management of resources or data that you could take on prior to taking on the management of people? So look at these questions. Answer these questions for yourself. Let's go to the next slide. Now, one of the big issues is that you've got to be able to quantify the difference you are making within your organization. And what that means is you've got to come up with a guesstimate of the difference. Because you're actually doing these roles, you need to start keeping track. What are the financial differences that you make? What are the, you know, it gives you some different ideas here about ways you might be able to measure the results you're making. And that's a very important part of convincing your boss that they ought to promote you. Let's go to the next slide. Well, when. Now, what this when is all about is clearly, you know, when you decide you want to start doing this, a natural thing occurs, and that is that you get anxious. You know, it creates stress for you to put yourself into a situation where you're going to hit your boss up for a raise, hit your boss up for increased responsibility. And hopefully those two are tied together. And so recognizing that the business has a natural flow, it has a give and take to it, and choosing when you're going to approach your boss about this issue is really a very critical piece. This isn't something where you should just rashly say, it's time to go talk to him, I'm going to talk to him right now. That's not probably a good idea. You need to pick your time. Next slide. So a couple more points here on this issue of picking your slide, picking your time. Look at your work situation. What are the events going on? What are the changes going on? What can you anticipate happening? Let's go to the next slide. Now, anytime you're going to make a transition, in my opinion, preparation is the key to being successful. You have to prepare these things in writing. You have to prepare what you're going to say. You have to have the facts. You have to have the data. You have to have thought about what they're going to say. What is your boss going to say when you present this? You should be preparing arguments. Well, that's the wrong word. Responses. Responses to anything your boss says about your request. So think about that. Prepare that information to him ahead of time, of course. Next step. Okay, what are the pieces? What would you actually say in this moment when you approach your boss? So you've sent your boss this list of considerations, and now you're approaching your boss, and here's kind of like a script of what you might say to help your boss consider your question. And your script might not be exactly like this, but this is really just an idea of how that script might go. And you really should script it out. Now, you're not necessarily going to say exactly what you have scripted, but you want to script it out and all of the different possible combinations of his or her answer to you, too, because preparation is the key to making this work effectively. Now, next slide. What if they say no? Well, so is there something in the future that is going to be changing in your organization? Some businesses are very seasonal. We've just gotten through with Christmas. Maybe this is a downtime in your business. Maybe in June it picks up. You know, where are the known changes that are going to be occurring in your organization, and what are they? So think about what might the future, is there a better time coming up? Next slide. Well, you know what? If there are just situations where it's just not going to happen. You talk to your boss, and the boss says, well, you know, I'd love to be able to do that for you, but that's not going to happen. And maybe it's time to think about transitioning out of your company. Well, interestingly enough, let's go to the next slide here. Research has shown that the most effective way to increase your income is, in fact, to change jobs. Now, that's really fascinating. You all, you know, currently some of you may be well rewarded for the things you do, but most people, most bosses, they give you, you know, you're lucky to get a pat on the back. You're lucky to get any recognition at all for the differences you make, because that's just kind of expected of you. And it gets old. That's another reason why the average person only stays in a job 3 years, because you know what? It gets old to not be recognized for the differences you make. And certainly, we all look at that our pay as evidence of our value within an organization. And the jobs market is a very robust market right now. You know, go look at the on our website. There's a job link called Looking for Work, and in that Looking for Work job link, there's one called Job Banks. And there are hundreds, literally hundreds of job banks online today. There's one called America's Job Bank. Go look at America's Job Bank. Today, there were 50,000 new jobs added to this job bank. There's over 2 million jobs in just that one job bank. So the fact of the matter is, you know, you hear people lament about all the jobs going overseas, all the jobs, you know, the call centers being created in Pakistan or somewhere. The fact of the matter is, America has a robust economy, and there are plenty of jobs out there. And so you ought to consider that maybe it's time to begin your job search. Next slide. Well, so how would you do that? Well, intriguingly enough, the jobs in America today, you all know we've moved into a service economy. And who is providing that service? Interestingly enough, it's small to medium-sized companies. Likely you work for a small to medium-sized company now. Next slide. So we look at where those businesses are. They are businesses with smaller than 100 employees, where the largest growth is going on. I once was a national sales manager for a software company during the dot-com era, and this was a very small company. We had less than 25 employees. And it was the most exciting time of my life. However, the dot-com bust came, and my company, like so many, went out of business. But it was the most exciting time in my life, and I just loved it. Every day was a challenge. Every day was exciting. So small businesses offer a lot for somebody who has tremendous diversity of skills. Next slide. Well, when, you know, you say, I'm saying to you there's lots of jobs out there. Well, why? Why are there lots of jobs? And the fact is that those jobs exist because people who are retiring. You all know, you've been reading it in the papers and on TV, the baby boomers are retiring in droves. To give you an example of that, next week is the East Carolina University Business Career Fair and the Technology Career Fair. And by the way, you are all invited. If you are within driving distance of ECU and you'd like to come to a career fair, go online, look at career fairs, and find one that fits your interest area, and you're welcome to come to campus and come to one of these career fairs. This year, for the first time, we have IBM recruiting on campus. We have Honeywell recruiting on campus. We have these major, major Fortune 500 companies recruiting on campus. Why is that? These companies haven't been to ECU probably ever. Why are they suddenly coming on campus? It's because of all these baby boomers retiring. So there's a huge, huge change in the workforce, and this is a good time to be looking at a transition. Next slide. At any given moment, between 10 and 15% of employers are advertising their jobs. Now, this is an interesting point. But only 10 to 15% of companies are advertising their jobs. Does that represent the entire job market? No, by not any stretch of the imagination. Let's go to the next slide. We did a survey of our graduates. Since 2004, we have surveyed our graduates, and we've asked them, how did you get your job? And we learned a fascinating thing. We learned that 26% of our graduates get a job from a posted job opening. 26 out of 100. Well, and yet they all end up employed. What about the 74%? Intriguingly enough, the 74% of our graduates get jobs through networking and through direct company contact, identifying those employers that they're interested in and marketing themselves to those employers. Next slide. If you go back to that triangle chart, the difficulty of making a career change, how qualified are you for the jobs that interest you? If, in fact, you're not qualified, that doesn't mean you shouldn't consider making a change. It just means you've got to do it differently. Next slide. Well, the difference is that rather than focus on whether there's an opening, you focus on whether there's a need. And that's such a critical point. Every job search needs to be focused on the needs of the companies that they're interested in, not whether or not they have an opening. In other words, if they have an opening, that's great. But even still, the issue is, why does that opening exist? What is the need that you're exploring? What need are you able to fill? And that's the critical piece to employers. Next slide. Well, gosh, if an employer doesn't have an opening, why would they hire me? Because of that need, because they need to make changes within their organization. They need to fill vacancies. They need to expand business. They need to take advantage of new opportunities. Next slide. Interesting point here. Every company in America has needs, problems, and challenges. The question is, are they in your area of expertise? Well, you know what? That means you've got to know what your area of expertise is. It goes back to one of the earlier slides. How are you making a difference? What is it you're really doing? You need to spend time analyzing yourself, not only what it is you are doing, but what it is you want to be doing. What it is that you need to, you see, we all have strengths and talents. And talents are things that come to us naturally, and strengths are skills we've developed, either through experience or intention. Maybe you've gone back to school. Maybe you've studied or taken some workshops. So what are your talents and strengths, and how can you capitalize on those talents and strengths in your career? Next slide. Well, companies have job openings for lots of reasons, and this just gives a few of them. The average hire takes 180 days, and that's a long time. And that's one of the reasons why networking is so effective. You can go to a decision maker, talk to them about their needs, find out that, in fact, they've got a need right now, and you know what? Saves them the trouble of going through the whole hiring process. And 74% of our graduates get a job that way. Next slide. That's that whole idea of saving employers time and trouble to go through. By the way, those of you who are catching up, we're at the slide that says employers will hire you because they need help to save the time, trouble, and expense of going through a formal job search. Next slide. This whole business, we call these job search channels. The different ways in which job seekers are effective in finding jobs. And it's fascinating because, you know, we've all gone and looked at the paper. Looking at classified ads is so frustrating. It's so, you know, finding a job, why is that, that employers don't ever advertise anymore? Well, you know what? It's because they don't have to. I mean, here in Greenville, we have a wonderful developing manufacturing base. And I just took a call this morning, probably an hour before this call, from a company in Rocky Mount. And the president of the company, this company has over 4,000 employees, and they called me up. The president of the company called me up and said, I want to hire your students. This is in the field of industrial distribution. And here's a company, 4,000 employees, and the president calls me. They're that desperate? Yes, they are. That he's that desperate to get people because his business is growing in leaps and bounds. And I'm more than happy to help him fill those jobs.
That's good.
Understand that employers are just as frustrated as you are about the job search process. Let's go to the next slide. Getting a job is sales. Well, you know, that's certainly true. Bear this in mind, that no matter how much you don't like salesmen and salespeople and sellers in general, you have to be the salesperson of this product. What is the product? Research the product. What is it you have to sell? What is it that you can do? What are your talents and strengths? And then think about the future. Think about, where do you want to be 3 years from now? What do you want to be doing? On our website, by the way, there is, under career exploration, there is a section called assessment. And if you are having difficulty thinking about what different fields you might want to be in, there's a wonderful brand new tool called a career GPS, a career global positioning system. Where do you want to be in the future? Where do you want to position yourself in the future? It's a wonderful tool. It was developed here at East Carolina University, and we use it with every single student to help them figure out where they want to, what kind of a workplace setting do they want to be in. I encourage you all to go to our website and utilize those resources. The website, ecu.edu, the ECU homepage, followed by E3 Careers. The letter E, the number 3, careers. Well, getting a job in sales, and you know what? Your resume, your cover letter, that's your marketing. Let's go to the next slide. So if a resume and a cover letter is a marketing, then you know what? That means it's not a resume. It doesn't have to be one page. It doesn't have to, you know, say everything you've ever done. In fact, it has to market your value, your potential to an employer. I mean, think about that. You're selling potential. Next slide. So there's an interesting problem. You must know who these buyers are. Next slide. Well, you know, it used to be that it was difficult to find this information. It was really, really difficult. Today, it's not difficult at all. Everything's online. You all know that. And it's amazing. There's a resource here called the Employer Locator. If you have the PowerPoint, this Employer Locator is a hyperlink to a specific job site. All three of these, the Occupational Information Network, that's a list of job descriptions. The Employer Locator is an online database of employers, and so is Reference USA. Now, Reference USA is the best of these sources, but it may not be available to you just by clicking on it. However, by all means, check your local library. I was giving a talk in Lima, Ohio, a couple weeks back, and Lima is a little tiny manufacturing town in the middle of Ohio, and I was just so surprised to see that the public library in Lima, Ohio, carried Reference USA. Certainly the university does. Certainly any university that you are close to carries this, but you might need to go on to the university campus, to the library, to access it. And by the way, don't forget that you're welcome to utilize the resources on any UNC campus. As an alumni of ECU, you are able to go to any campus and get help. And sometimes they will request an email from us asking them to do that, but we're more than happy to do that. we'll be happy to send an email and say, here's our alumni who would like your help. And you can get help on any from any career campus on any UNC campus around the state. Next slide. So on our database, on our website, we have a database called eRecruiting. And this is a database where we post any job that we have.
No cost.
You simply need to go to the database website and register.
I've been there.
You have? All right. Those of you also may be aware that we have a Pirate Alumni Network, and those are alumni like yourself who would be happy to be mentors, let's use that word, for current students. Maybe your own experience is such that it's really helpful to have somebody to talk to. We had an interesting situation come up the other day. We had an interior design student who wanted to move to New York City. And we found an alumni who was able to, we were able to connect that student up with an alumni in New York City. And the student is now working in New York City in Manhattan on Lexington Avenue because of an alumni contact. Oh, great. Love to have you all help us help students in their job search, too. Next slide. So, how are you going to market yourself to decision makers, and how do you get them to talk to you? Well, next slide. First, it really becomes finding out who those people are. And these databases are so easy. In fact, you know what? The Yellow Pages Online is an amazing resource for identifying employers in your location. And there, you know, anybody can access that. So it begins the issue of thinking about who are the kinds of organizations and companies that you'd like to be targeting. Next slide. Well, so the key, if you recall from an earlier slide, the key is to probing into the needs and problems and challenges of these organizations. And it's really amazing that companies will take the time to stop and talk to you. And here's, you know, another great advantage to living in the South. You know, the Southern culture lends itself much more to employers who are willing to take the time and stop and talk to you. But what you're going to do in that moment is not say, gosh, I'm looking for a job, if you got one. That's not very effective. Instead, you need to put the focus of your conversation on their needs and problems and challenges in your area of expertise. And so this means that you've got to sit down and put together a list of questions. Think about your own organization. What are the needs and problems and challenges that you have? Sometimes one of the frustrating things is that your superiors aren't willing to listen to your great ideas. Well, you know what? You could take those great ideas to somebody else who will listen to you. So the job search is not so much about setting up interviews. It's about setting up meetings, going and sitting down and talking face-to-face for lunch or after work or whatever that will work for you. Next slide. Now, here's an interesting one. The goal is multiple job offers. Now, honestly, truly, I say that to students every single day, and they just can't believe me. And it's, you know, I'm sure you all realize how significant this is. You see, if you've only got one offer, what kind of a decision is that? It's yes or no. Whereas if you have more than one job offer, then employers have to negotiate with you. And that's why we're encouraging every alumni and every student to work on leads and develop opportunities to the point of an offer. Now, the significance of that is that along the way, a lot of times you decide you're really not interested. But the process of following that lead through to an offer will give you an offer that you can use to leverage a better offer with another employer. So multiple job offers is really useful to you. Next slide. Job seeker summary. Well, now this is pretty interesting. Thinking about that every interaction with an employer is in fact an interview. Our students you can imagine if you, that students today have a lot of text messaging. You know, everybody's text messaging themselves. And they're not using complete written language. They're using parts of words and abbreviations. And the other day I had a student come into me and he said, gosh, you know, I had an employer email me and I emailed him back and he emailed me back again and I emailed him back and then I never heard from him again. And I said, really? Well, that sounded strange. So did you happen to save those emails? Well, he saved them and he showed them to me. And the student has been using text messaging coding in his email to the employer. And I'm going, what is wrong with you? You know, you can't, you have to treat every interaction with an employer as if you were being interviewed. Is that the way you would talk to an employer if you were standing in front of them? No. So, you know, the student just didn't realize every interaction with an employer has to be very professional. Next slide. So, when you are interacting with employers, thinking about what you want to say, being prepared ahead of time, what are the probing questions, what that probe into those needs, and then responding to those needs with examples of your background and history and experience. That's what turns out to sell. Next slide. So here is the critical piece, just a wonderful little quote here. Job seekers fail to realize that each of us is endowed with the inner strength to exert a powerful influence over those we meet, that our attitudes can be the contagious motivating factor that causes an employer to want our service. Understand that employers are very anxious to solve their problems, and the job search is about you being a problem solver, presenting yourself as a problem solver, somebody who's able to make a difference with that employer. Well, that ends our PowerPoint section of the presentation. I'd like to open it up for questions, see what questions you all have about the job search, about moving up within your own company, anything that would be helpful to you.
I have a question. This is Paris in Raleigh. Say a company like IBM, you want to work there. How do you find out who it is besides the person in human resources that is the actual hiring manager? How do you find out that key person that you need to speak with?
Yes.
And then should you give them a direct phone call? Should you get an email to them if you can find out their name? But mainly, how do you find out who that key person is?
Okay, so that's an excellent question. And IBM's a good example because IBM in Raleigh is so huge, thousands of employees. How do you possibly find? So two answers. The first one is that if you go to a database like Reference USA, Reference USA will give you a list of the managers within an organization. Now, it's not an exhaustive list, but the IBM listing has probably 20 or 30 different people in there. And if you think about a corporate hierarchy for a moment, well, the problem, as you all know, is that human resources is at the bottom of the chain here. The task of human resources, the job of human resources, is not really to hire people, it's to screen people out. And if you simply apply for a job, IBM posts their job. For example, if you're looking at a technical job like programming perhaps, well, there are these job banks. For example, one of them you may know of, may or may not know of, is DICE. www.dice.com. Now, who would ever guess that that's a programming job bank? And you can go to DICE, you can register, tell them all about the different technical skills you have, and you can and IBM posts all of their technical jobs on DICE. And so there's a source for identifying those openings. Now, the significance of that is these are openings that are not posted on their own website. It's just too strange. But a lot of organizations, when they're trying to fill specific openings, don't utilize their internal resources. They go to specific kinds of populations they're trying to identify. But back to your question. If you think about a hierarchy of an organization for a moment, human resources is at the bottom, and going through human resources is like trying to be a salmon and swim upstream. Instead, you go to a database, you look up those decision makers that are listed, and you go to the top and work your way down. To answer your question, yes, you're going to send a cover letter and a resume to that decision maker. You're going to follow that up with a phone call. And by the way, cover letters, resumes, even calling employers, all of those resources are available. How to make those calls is available on our website. There's what's called a virtual handout cart. So you go to the website, click on virtual handout cart, and there are wonderful handouts there that cover all of those subjects. Because what you're going to do is not call that decision maker up about their openings, but about their needs. And so you want to engage that person with a discussion about their needs. Now, why will these busy people take your calls? Well, you know what? Their job is to solve the problems within the organization. And you send them a cover letter and a resume first, and then they get this, they get these letters, and they go, huh, interesting. And then when you call up, they know your name and they take your call. That's the one way, is identifying who those are. The other, of course, is networking. Let me tell you a little story. I was trying to help. There's a Fortune 500 company called W.L. Gore. And Gore, they make Gore-Tex. That's probably the most common name that you know of them under, Gore-Tex. Well, W.L. Gore is a phenomenal company, and they use Gore-Tex to help patch people's hearts because it's such an amazing material. And so they have an entire medical division of Gore-Tex. And I had an employee, I mean, I had a person come to me, and this person said, well, you know what, I really want to work for W.L. Gore, and I know that, but I've tried to get a job there, and I've been totally unsuccessful. And I said, really, tell me about that. Well, this person had found the website, W.L. Gore website, gone and found jobs that they thought they were qualified for, completed the online application, and never heard anything. And she did like about three or four of those in a row, didn't hear anything. So then she thought, you know, maybe I need to be a little more assertive. So she called the human resource office. And she said, hi, listen, you know, I'm really interested in working for you all. I've got really good skills. I seem to be qualified for a number of positions you have. And somehow I'm not getting response to my applications. What would you suggest? Well, personally, by the way, I want to interject here. Anytime you're in that situation where you're sending things in and you're not getting any response at all, I guarantee you the problem is what you're sending them. It's your cover letters and your resumes are not working for you. You're not marketing yourself effectively to meet the needs of those employers. On the other hand, if you're getting interviews but you're not getting offers, well, then your problem is you're interviewing, and you ought to come in and let us do some mock job interview training with you, which we're happy to do. But back to my story. So HR told this person, well, you know, we appreciate that, and we have lots of different jobs, and we really recommend that you just keep trying, but feel free to call us if you'd like from time to time to let us know, you know, so that we can begin to develop a relationship with you. So she said, you know what, I'm going to do that. And she called them every day for a year. And then she came to me. And she said, I still want to work for W.L. Gore. Well, you know what? She had burnt that bridge so badly that it was like she was really, really frustrated. And I just could not believe that she had done that. So I said, well, you know, if you really still want to work for W.L. Gore, you can. But the trick is that you're not going to be able to get this job through human resources because they are so fed up with you, they're not going to talk to you. And so I said, you've got to start doing networking. You've got to go to people in your church, people in your community, people you know, and say, and find someone who works for W.L. Gore. So she came back in about a week, and she said to me, well, I did what you said, and I found somebody. But you know what? I don't know if this is going to work because this person's a maid. She works for W.L. Gore. She lives three doors down from me, but she's a maid. Well, you know, how's a maid going to help me? And I said, you know, I'm sorry, you just don't understand. Maids have a lot of power. Think about your own offices, man. You know, we depend on our maids to keep everything straight. So I said, don't think that way at all. It doesn't matter that the person's a maid. What matters is that the person is already inside the company. Go sit down, talk to her, explain what you're interested in doing, ask her if she can help you. So she went and she did. She came back to me a week later and she said, wow, I'm really amazed because you're right. Come to find out, this maid happened to be in the exact department. She worked in the exact department that my client wanted to work for. And she said, I'm happy to help you. I know this guy. I know this decision maker. I'll go get you his card. So that night she went to work, clipped the guy's card off of his desk and brought it to her. Now she had direct contact. And she said, and I recommended that she use this maid's name in contacting that decision maker, which she did. And the man knew the maid, and he was more than happy to take her phone call and talk to her about his needs. They met, and she works there today. So the other way to get to decision makers is through your own networking efforts. The combination of identifying, it's what's called direct company contact, identifying who the decision makers are, contacting them directly, and networking. What other questions?
What is the website again, ECU's website that you keep referring to?
Yeah, so the ECU's website is www.ecu.edu, and then there's a /, and that's the one under the question mark, followed by E3 careers, the letter E, the number 3, CAREERS, and then another /. How about another question?
Bruce, this is Wendy Anderson calling from RTT.
Hello.
Hello. I work for Wyeth. An opportunity, I think, is facing me where I can move to a management position, and it's talking more like you're saying the different levels of management, and it's managing projects. It would be a project manager position. It would be a lateral move. It wouldn't be a promotion, but the person who is trying to recruit me is saying that maybe a year from now would possibly be a promotion. How do you handle things like that where, yes, this would definitely be something good on your resume and experience, but it wouldn't be a financial, it wouldn't be compensated for at the present time?
Well, that's a wonderful potential for you. But you know what? I'm really glad you asked the question, because it's amazing how often people who are trying to recruit you say, you know, I'm not sure I can get you more money. And there's a specific, you know, what we're really getting into here is salary negotiating. You effectively negotiate a transition without losing, without backing up even, or without staying level. And in this situation where you really believe this person's being honest with you, that they're not just trying to get you without having to pay more for you, then I would really encourage you to throw into the mix, at the very least, they should be willing to give you an early salary and performance review. Because consider that what they're doing here is they have a need, or they wouldn't be talking to you, and there are problems, there are issues, or they wouldn't be talking to you. And you need to know what those are, and you need to then be able to present yourself effectively as a problem solver who can help them with those issues. But the fact of the matter is that they are reluctant, generally they are reluctant to offer you more money because they don't know whether or not this will work. Well, that's where an early salary and performance review comes in, because managers have the ability to do those performance reviews anytime they want to do them. I mean, they do them annually, but they could do them earlier. And so, you know, if you're willing to consider this option, you need to collect the information about the needs and problems and issues, sure that you know what you're getting into, but at the very least, you should negotiate an early salary and performance review with them, so that you can get on the job, show them what you're capable of doing, and then you sit down and talk. Does that make sense to you?
That makes sense. Thank you.
How about another question?
Do all the industries have a particular job bank database, or is it just hit and miss? I mean, I've never heard of Dice.com. I'm not in that industry at all, but I was just wondering, do some of them particularly have specific databases that they're geared toward?
Yes. I wouldn't say that they all do, but I've been amazed at how many specialized in job banks there are. Go to Google and type in your field and the word job bank. And what you can do is, you probably know this, but put in your field, you know, for example, you put in construction management. And if you put a plus sign in between the word construction and the word management without a space, and then you put another plus sign in the word job and then plus sign in bank, that way it'll hold those in all four of those words together in the search. And that, so in other words, otherwise Google will give you construction, it'll give you management, it'll give you job, and it'll give you banks. And so you'll end up getting information about BB&T, you know. But if you put a plus sign in between those, then it'll give you construction, management, job, banks. And I'm just picking that one. But there are lots of specialized job banks for most fields. Some of them are available on our website. If you go to our career, if you go to our website, look at Looking for Work under Job Banks. There are general job banks, and then there are some of them for fields. So the field of technology, for example, has quite a number of job banks, and some of them are on our website. Do we have another question?
Bruce, the companies that will be at the job fair next week, are those North Carolina companies or companies located in North Carolina, or are those companies around the United States?
There, in fact, are companies from around the United States, but it's certainly true that the majority of them are from North Carolina.
Okay.
And let me tell you how to look at that. And it's, I'm glad you asked that question, too. If you go to our website again and go to the word career fairs, it's down at the bottom. It's in the middle of the list. I'm just going to do this here so I can make sure I'm giving the right information. Click on the word career fairs, and then you will see a list of the five career fairs. So, for example, right now today is our healthcare career fair. On Friday, we have one for hospitality. Next Wednesday, we have one for business, the following, and also technology. Those are on the same day. Education is on Friday, March 23rd. Well, if you do a mouse over, for example, the business career fair, if you do a mouse over, the words business and career fair turn red. And if you click on those words, business and career fair, you will get a list of all of the companies coming to the fair. And if you look at that list, it tells you who the companies are, what particular types of jobs they have open. Now, bear in mind that this list is designed for these seniors graduating. So don't let the list of jobs say, oh, well, gee, these are all, you know, beneath me, because these employers would be more than happy to talk to you as well. They're just specifically coming here to talk to graduating seniors. But they do expect alumni to be at this fair, and there certainly will be. And every time the name of the company is a hyperlink to their website so that you can do a little bit of research on who these companies are beforehand. And you're all welcome to come. Is there another question? Well, you know what, let's do. We're just coming to the end of the hour here. Let me give you my email address. So it's Maxwell B, like Maxwell House Coffee, MaxwellB, at ecu.edu. And if you have some questions and maybe you were a little bit shy about asking them because of the other people, or maybe, you know, you're not in a situation. You know, some of you are sitting there at work, and you don't really want people to know what you're doing, and we understand that. So if you have some questions that you'd like answered, please feel free to email me, and I'll be happy to answer your questions. Or if, you know, maybe you've got a resume and you want me to look at it, feel free to email me a copy of your resume. Be happy to look at it. But I guarantee you, I tend to rip resumes up because I don't mean that literally. I mean in terms of editing them significantly because so few people have a resume that is designed to be marketing. And that is the wave of the future today, is making your resume an effective document. There is another resource I would mention to you. If you go to our website on resumes, there's a spot that says write a resume. As an alumni of ECU, there's a software here that creates an actual flash resume, which is a very interactive online resume, and there's some wonderful samples in there if you want to look at what in the world I'm talking about. But to be honest with you, we are going away from paper resumes, and we are going to electronic resumes that are almost portfolios. We also have online portfolio software, but that won't work for you. But the flash resumes will work for you. There is a cost. It's $29 to have an account with this flash resume. But if you go look at those resumes and see how fancy they are, you may want to consider it be worth your while to have one. The way you use flash resumes is that you send the decision makers an email as a cover letter as an email, and you include in the third paragraph the hyperlink to your flash resume. And you say, I encourage you to take a look at my resume. Now, the reason that's so significant, I mean, let's take the IBM example. This is a very high-tech area, and yet you're going to send them a hard copy of a resume. You know what? I think maybe, you know, they expect more from you. So here would be a way for you to put together a very high-level, fancy flash resume without really needing to go to the trouble to program the whole thing and flash yourself, which would take you a long time. You can put together a resume using this software, a flash resume, in about an hour. And so consider that. Go check those out. Under sample resumes, there's several flash resumes in there. If you see the letter F, the flash symbol, click on that, and you'll actually see what those flash resumes look like. All right? Well, I want to thank you all for joining us today, and I appreciate you hanging in the phone here with me. I'm sorry this is as awkward as it is, but I appreciate you giving me questions, and please feel free to contact me. And know that ECU is here to support you in any way we can.
Okay,
right.
Great.
Thank you all.
Thanks, Bruce.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.